Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Welcome to the weekly challenge. This is where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. It's kind of crazy, huh? Well, not so crazy that a bunch of people have sent their stories in this week on the topic of grace. You want to hear them? Okay, well, I've got a few right here. Let's see. Oh, the first one is by Sing. This is going to be an adventure. If you don't trust me on this, well, you'll trust me afterwards. Heal me now and believe me later and all that. Okay, I'll just get right to it. This one's going to be a long one, so put on your listening pants and let's begin.
The little one from the humidity crib and unhooked her plasma tube. I knew we had to work quickly. Fortunately, her twin brother was doing fine. This way, the nurse said. I had already set up my tripod and lights in a vacant room and was ready for the little one in her infant whites. There were smears of blood here and there. Yes, in this case, it would be better to process these in black and white before passing them to the parents. Meanwhile, Dorothy and Moses Chen moved as if in a trance, she holding the delicate bundle. How did I become a bereavement photographer? Well, I also had a twin who died at birth. In those days, the stillborns were whisked away to the mortuary with cold efficiency, lest the idea of death infect the realm of the living. Like mother, I had longed to have a hand, footprint, or name tag saying Twin 1 or Twin 2, even a tiny lock of hair. Anything to remind me of my lost identical sibling. When I became a professional photographer, I made it a point to volunteer for bereavement service so I could vicariously relive my own twin's passing. The Chens wanted photos of the little girl alone, the twins together, another with each parent separately, and finally, the toughest one of all to shoot, the family portrait. Somehow, this image was meant to be a smiling achievement, although under the circumstances we all knew it was a sad falsehood. Yet that's what photographers do, suspend moments and render stillborn the notion of death. By this stage, everyone, including me, was fighting back tears. It was an unbearable situation. I kept snapping for 20 painful minutes, yet hoping my humble photographs would have lasting meaning for the stricken survivors. I went home and transferred the shots to the computer, deleting the duds. I did some quick edits and burnt the set to disk, then went to bed drained, but glad my work was almost done. All that remained was to deliver the DVD in a couple of days. When I rose the next morning and powered up my mobile phone, beeps sounded with a message. We would be eternally grateful if you could come to our home at 2 p.m., I figured they wanted the photo straight away. It wasn't far, so I closed up my flat and drove over. Moses opened the door. honey. He led me into the lounge. Dorothy was on the sofa nursing her baby, singing softly, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." "So you've brought your son back already?" As soon as I'd spoken, I realized my error. Both the twins had been born premature and were on life support. They had brought the dead girl home. Dorothy was still in her trance, singing, "You make me happy when skies are gray." The funeral counselor was very compassionate to allow us to say goodbye to the little one for some time longer, Moses whispered. At first I was shocked. It seemed macabre to be here with two grieving parents attending to their newly dead child as if she was alive. "Would you mind taking more photos? It would mean a lot to us," to Dorothy. Moses gestured, nodding toward her. He was gently entertaining his partner, who could still not let go. I understood. "Of course. Dorothy, darling, let's go into the twins' room. Miss Wong is going to take more shots for the memory box." He eased her up as she nursed the swaddled bundle. I took out the small camera from my shoulder bag, following them into the baby room. The Chens were first-time proud parents and had lovingly papered the walls blue with sheep leaping at silver moons. There was a mobile of lucky pigs swinging from the ceiling and soft toys and books in corners and nooks in the middle of the room with two baby cribs next to each other. Dorothy placed the dead child in one. Now I could see the bluish angel face. I braced myself, stepped forward, and snapped some more shots. "Before she goes to the next world, she should have lived at least a life in this one," Moses said. After photographing the room, Moses led Dorothy, the infant girl, and me back into the lounge. "We will go for a drive, Miss Wong." Soon we were pressing the lift and getting out in the parking bay. Dorothy sat at the back, clutching the bundle to her bosom. Moses said, "Darling, we should put her in the travelling bassinet. It's the law." He prized the wrapped infant out of her arms and placed it in the basket that was held in place by harness clips. I climbed into the passenger seat and Moses nosed the sleek black SUV onto the street. At Atomic Tots, a local kindergarten, we headed for the play swings. Dorothy clutched the infant as Moses gently pushed from behind. "Lovely, isn't it?" Dorothy said. I clicked shots and played along. We were mobile again soon, stopping next outside the prestigious white walls of the Singapore Chinese Girls' School. "This is my alma mater," Dorothy said, chattering to the bassinet. "You'll love it here, from prep on, just like Mummy did." I took the prerequisite happy snap, and next we were slamming doors and driving. The black SUV was beginning to feel like a slow-moving hearse. And so her life journey progressed rapidly. We were a dark speck of mortality, travelling the arterial freeways up and down the island. We passed blocks of flats and tall condominiums, each radially fed by a town centre. Moses and Dorothy were now both conversing with the little one, narrating a fast-forward life, stopping at Raffles Junior College, at the National University of Singapore, telling of future law studies like her father's. She would no doubt marry an equivalent boy from a good family, from her own social ranking, and become a proud mother. Parental ambition had mapped everything out. Finally, they steered the car north to Old Choa Chu Kang Road and reached Nirvana Memorial Gardens Columbarium, where traditional Chinese bought niches to house the ashes of loved ones, following the motto, Rest in Prosperity. Already they had taken a deluxe niche in the six-star hotel-like complex, complete with Buddha temple and high-rise buildings either side to house the remains of 50,000 deceased. Their niche was decorated in a mixture of tasteful modern and Chinese decor with sofa set for family visits. This is where you'll come, darling, and we will follow, Dorothy said to the bundled babe. My camera marveled at the new luxurious hotel of death. Here were laser lights, an iPod-triggered sound system, theatrical smoke, a booming recorded voice chanting sutras for the ancestors. I photographed sky ceilings, golden buddhas, koi ponds, reticulating waterfalls and niches like safe deposit boxes on every level of nirvana. Cremation was now the promoted form of internment on this island, already digging up its cemeteries to build more condominiums and providing sleepless nights for the superstitious. It was time. Moses rang on his mobile for their funeral counselor. A brief lifespan lived, they had to relinquish their flesh and blood. I took my final photographs. Both now seemed better reconciled to the next stage of their dead daughter's journey. I too had felt I had lived a full brief life travelling in the family's company like an honorary aunt. Then they surprised me. Would you be our daughter's Gang Ma, Miss Wong? Gang Ma means godmother. Of course, my role was now redundant, and neither was I religious, although in Chinese tradition a godparent performs a more social function. I would not have to find a suitable future husband, pay a dowry, nor raise the child should the parents die. By now my professional bereavement photographer status had collapsed somewhere along the journey. I couldn't refuse. Yes, I would be honored to be... and stopped. The little one didn't have a name. How will I call her? I asked. They looked at each other. Through the deep shock of the event, they had overlooked this essential part of the plan. You choose, Gangma. I paused, seeking inner inspiration. Grace was the word that came to mind. They approved. Thus, this is the story of Grace, who was born, lived a life, and died. I have the pictures to prove it.
Oh, do we need to go any further? Can we just stop right here? Wow. Thank you, Singh. Oh, great. Now everyone's going to be like, oh, stop and all that. What happened? Am I chopped liver? No, you're not chopped liver, people. Relax. Ooh, I'm going to take a moment to breathe here. Oh, living social deals. Just unlimited yoga classes for unlimited yoga, I guess. Folks, I think yoga ought to have its limits. You can go too far. Oh, man. I left my phone in somebody's car on on Friday after dinner, and the Find My Phone app actually works. After looking in a bathroom in my office and a conference room which set off an alarm. Yeah. I'll get better at that. Okay, let's see who's up next. Oh, Jeffrey Fisher. All right. Okay, Jeffrey, he's got... Hold on, let me see which ones are in this one. He's got two stories. Oh, okay. All right. You still got your story listening pants on? Okay. May have to undo the, you know, open up the belt a notch here. Is this one? You're going to be full.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge on the topic of grace. My first story is called Faith and Deeds. Father Turner conducted his tour of the parish on Tuesdays. He made a point to visit Mrs. Schaefer every week, now that she could no longer leave her house, and there was never a shortage of the temporarily ill and infirm to comfort. Although he continued to tend to the spiritual well-being of his flock, Father Turner was troubled by his own lack of grace. He did not know when his faith faltered. He only knew it was no longer with him. Good works were not enough to restore his state of grace, but, faith or no, his role was to minister to those who needed him. My second story is called Flying. When she danced, she could fly. Lithe and nimble, her body was entirely graceful as her feet lightly touched the floor, only to soar again and again. Only during these times did she feel fully alive. When she tried to explain this feeling to others, the usual response was a blank look. Words, she realized, were sometimes inadequate. Then she would once again wake, her legs still the useless sticks they became after the accident. She would fight back the tears and begin the long process of getting out of bed. The dance would have to wait.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And something in the news recently. Chaplains in the U.S. Armed Forces, atheist chaplains, although it sounds kind of weird, but there's one who's been an advocate out there. Check the NPR feeds, story of the day and all that. And he's been making the rounds on things like thestory.org and other shows out there. So that interesting. Losing faith, but administering anyway. As someone who has not lost faith in this podcast is, of course, Tom. Let's see what he's got. Everyone bow your heads in respect, and let's see if he's got monkeys. Probably not. He's been doing the monkeys thing a few weeks in a row. But the man's tireless, I'm telling you.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, 5,400. Story average, 16.6. Milestones, it now takes 150 stories to enter the top 10. As a space turtle goes 150 stories, there are currently 9 active authors in the lair of the golden monkeys. Movement, serendipity passes our good friend Ellison to occupy the 22nd place. Jeffrey Fisher moves ahead of Tura into the 18th place. With the triumphant return of Beauchamps, he displaces young Danny Dwyer to regain the title of 13th monkey. Both he and Danny are a mere 5 stories away from gold. But the story of note tonight is Master Muncie, who this week completes an amazing 100 stories in a row. Thus, I inform the founder, so to him may be conferred the title of Iron Monkey, authors in the run for Iron, Red Goddess 81, Cliff 80, Lizzie 80. And tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 10. Bannister checked his ticket, 13D. He navigated his way past knees and chins to his seat. On stage, a tuxedoed MC, martini and cigarette in hand, bantered with the audience. Bannister wondered what sort of man would actively seek out a Rat Pack mod. "It's a living," said Dino Mod. I can get you some garlic bread with that spaghetti, Pilgrim. He stared straight into his eyes. Real bravo, called back Bannister. Smile disappeared from Dino's face. Hey, George, get out here. I'm dying. Hollow Burns appeared with his wife. Say hello, Gracie. Oh, George, you're confusing me.
Thank you, Tom. Although I keep track of golden monkeys, I think. Do I keep track of iron? That list is so out of date of the regular, just every monkey. You know, the monkeys, I guess. But I think I've got the golden monkeys right. So, I'm not sure. What monkeys do I need to watch? Should we just put this up in a Google Doc? No? Because we have to keep our secrets. We don't want the NSA tracking monkeys. Or, I don't know. But thank you, Tom. And the monkeys, thank you. It's kind of strange. Speaking of monkeys, how about we bring in Zachman here? The dude knows his bananas, I'm telling you. And I got, if you're wondering which kitty cat is with me, yeah, little teeny. Hi, little teeny at my feet. She was chirpy and all that and happy earlier and rubbing her head against my feet, and now I'm just petting her. Hello, little girl. Yes, you're sweetie. Okay. We actually let her outside now, and she goes out and wanders around then. Doesn't go far. She's a very careful girl, even though she's silly looking. An easy to spot, too. It helps when a cat has white on them. The baby panthers weren't so easy to find. So, here's, Zach, however, is easy to find in the dark. You can, whoa, Zach's right there. He'll never scare you, never surprise you, only with his stories.
His manager sat between Joe and a pretty woman. You were right. I do find him handsome and a nice dresser. Oh, yes, Joe is one of my favorite clients, but I don't think he's reaching his full potential, and I believe marriage would be good for his career. I don't know. What if he doesn't find me attractive? I am right here, said Joe. Stop talking as if I'm not. It's making me very frustrated. You might as well get used to being frustrated. If I'm going to make you two into the next Burns and Allen.
Thank you, Zachman, who has reached his full potential. I hope. I don't know, maybe more. Maybe there's more room. We'll see. I don't measure potential. Do I look like a potentiometer? I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But I can pronounce Richard. save. So, Richard, how many stories do you have this week? Let's listen to them all. Maybe even twice.
Good morning. You know, when I was listening last week, I realized what a strange voice I put on to do these stories. And a very boring one at that. So, from now on, I'll try and do it better. Here's this week's stories. This one's called Cargo. George barely had a moment's grace to come to his senses before the container swung violently through an arc and with an enormous crash dropped like a stone. In the confusion, he fell and, unable to stop himself, crashed headfirst onto the solid metal floor. The world went grey and fuzzy before turning completely black. When he came to, it was some time before he realised the throbbing in his head wasn't entirely due to the painful lump that had appeared there. The floor was vibrating and shaking. Now utterly bemused, George realised that the container was on the move. This one's called Grace. When it came to clumsiness, she'd give most people a run for their money. Singularly inept, socially awkward, and probably the most ungainly woman I'd ever met. Whenever her name came up in conversation, I'd chuckle. As long as she was around, there would always be someone more hopeless than myself. She'd hijack conversations and muscle in on private gatherings, her fussing and flustering capable of upsetting even the most carefully laid plans. Eventually, we banned her from formal events altogether, thanks to her habit of upstaging everybody else. If ever there was an unsuitably named woman, it was Grace. Last story is called Truth Hurts, but damn does it feel good. Nice of you to grace us with your presence, said my boss, voice laden with sarcasm. Do we have your permission to begin? Actually, no, I replied, giving him a withering look. I have something to say. You are without doubt the worst, most obnoxious, self-serving manager I've ever had the displeasure to work under. You are rude, ignorant, pompous, and a complete moron. He looked at me in shock. Oh, by the way, I quit. Leaving the room, I ducked the stapler he threw at me. Well, I never expected him to accept the truth with good grace. And there you go. That's this week's stories. Speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And watch out for those staplers. Have you seen my stapler? I'm looking up showtimes for the movie theater. Elysium. I've seen some pretty bad reviews of it. If this is just eye candy and goofy, okay. Pacific Rim, robots beating each other up, but that would delay an hour. There's a baseball game today. I want to watch that, though. So the Elysium... Now, wait. If Elysium is at... I don't know. Let's see the showtimes tomorrow. Monday. Click. Clicky. Click. Hold on. Wait for it. Oh! Monday is a showing of Elysium at 5 and 5:30. So if I get out the door at work and get my butt over there, yeah, I can catch that. I've been wanting to see Red 2, but I've heard some up and down on that. I don't know. Not going to see the Smurfs. That's just crazy. No, the Monsters is at 7. So if I go tomorrow after work to see Elysium, if I get out the door right. So I'll go to work early tomorrow. There, that solves that. Who's next? Danny. He's early. Well, let's see what he's up to. Yeah, I snuck in his pork story in the feed. Because he was like, yeah, it's included. It's like, okay, we got that in there. Isn't that cool? See if you're late. Like, there are a few people that you'd expect to be in this show, but aren't this week. Whether they've decided, oh, I'm sick of this stuff, or, oh my god, I forgot. Whatever it is, you know, send it in a day or two late, I'll get it up. Although, please, record it. So, you know, I mean, it's nice to get it in there, but really, don't impose. Oh well. Here's Danny. He never imposes.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 381, Grace. After sitting down at the dinner table, my mother said, "It's your turn to say grace." "Okay," I replied, and delivered the following. A man who is not afraid is not aggressive. A man who has no sense of fear of any kind is really a free, peaceful man. "What does that have to do with giving thanks for our food?" my mother quipped. Until this year, I've been gripped with fear of losing all my material possessions, and now that I have, I no longer feel any fear. I'm at peace and free to live my life with grace.
Thank you, Danny. And, yay! Just, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Man, we're already at 30 minutes. Ooh, this is going to be a big show. Even though it's, I don't know how many stories are in it. We'll see. Can we go with Muncie and see what he's calling us this week? I forgot already. It's not something annoying, so it just, you know, woo, maybe he does need to, you know, you monkey. No, he can't call us monkeys, because we're already monkeys. I don't know. I'm very confused. How about I just play Muncie for you? So, Muncie of the great global warming North.
Greetings, Captain Action, from your contact back here at Action Central. Your mission, if you'll choose to accept it, is to listen to a series of 100-word stories based loosely around the theme of grace. And if you choose not to accept it, I have horrible news for you, because that's what you've been doing this whole time! So let's get down to it, Captain, because story time waits for no man, and no word yet as to whether or not it waits for women. Graceland by Christopher Monroe. I believe we all will be received in Graceland. Except for the clumsy. Anyone clumsy gets turned away at the gates, cast out to wander, shunned and utterly alone, through the desolate, awkward wastelands from whence they came, and shall so wander until the day they die. Hopefully that day won't be long coming. Hopefully they'll eventually bump into, trip over, or fall upon something they can't handle. And then die, alone. As they lived, alone. We, meanwhile, will relax in a land of permanent grace. Well, you will. I'm clumsy as hell. I likely won't get in. Broken Escalator still available for your reading, listening pleasure. Tweets at Munzee Munzee. You did it, Captain. You made it. But will you survive next week's adventure? Tune in to see. Same action time, same action channel.
I guess everyone's getting some action. Okay. But Captain Action? What happens when we get promoted to Major? Oh. Thank you, Captain Muncie. Or are you Commander Muncie? I don't know. I don't know how the action hierarchy goes. Oh, we got someone new. Right. This person is I.B. Wowo. So, Wowo, topic suggestion of, that might be a good one. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to go ahead and use a text-to-speechy thing. Even though my phone is missing, I'm using an online application for it. Shh, don't tell anyone. I probably own that software anyway, so I don't care what they think.
Yeah, that's my name, before I was even born. I was destined to it. My mom was a horrible driver. She just didn't pay attention. My dad was awful with money. He couldn't not spend it. They both had the worst luck imaginable. At my first birthday party, the one where I was supposed to bury my face in the cake, my dad did. Don't ask. My 16th birthday, I was supposed to get a car, right? Mom wrecked it on the way home. My senior prom, I had two car accidents in 6 hours that day. I gave up and went in a cast, jeans, and a t-shirt, because my dress flew out the window into a puddle. I've overdrawn my bank account more times than I can count. I got 2 points left in my license. Broken more bones doing seemingly harmless stuff, like, oh, walking. My dad named me after Grandma. Guess what her name was? Yep, Grace, the irony has not escaped me.
Thank you, Wowo. And I apologize for the halting nature of this online application that I used. It just, well, as I said, I left my phone, which has the other text-to-speech. I don't have one for the Mac currently set up. I'm sure there is one. If I Googled it, it would be there. And just, really, it's Sunday. Give me a break. So next time, record your own. Or I'll have my phone back by then. One person who does record his own stories is, of course, Cliff, otherwise known as Uncle Monster. But he is no monster to me. He's a Muppet or a... Here he is.
The waitress brought our food, and we were ready to tuck in when a quavering voice asked me if I was going to say grace. Mrs. Crenshaw was one of the holier-than-thou set at our church. I couldn't stand her, but when your pop is a deacon, you put up with a lot. My girlfriend and I bowed our heads and closed our eyes. I gave my thanks and said amen. When I opened my eyes, a piece of chicken was gone from my plate. The old lady was munching on a drumstick, looking innocently out the window. And here's another story with the subject of grace. I first saw her when she fell up the stairs. I'm still not sure how she managed that. I helped her to her feet. In the 10 minutes I was with her as we walked, she dropped her phone twice, her purse once, knocked over a wet floor sign, and tripped again. I know it's impossible, but I swear she tripped on a shadow. I headed to class as we went our separate ways. I saw her again at the dance tryouts. I shook my head, but when she took the stage, she had the grace of angels.
I've tripped over a shadow. Maybe I'll do a story about it one day. But you won't hear it until 2015, I guess, at this rate. So, right. Thank you, Cliff. No tripping over shadows. It's very painful. To the shadow. The shadow knows. Next, we have one from Hope. New person. Hope. That's right. I'm going to say that again. Hope. There, I said it normally. Huh? And she comes to us from Mighty Righty. I'm going to look at this. Oh, my God. She is quite mighty and righty. Just all sorts of things here. Cool. Got to check this out. Plus, she's got the glasses. Those glasses mean, of course, I'm a writer. I need to get those glasses. Because I write for work, and I write for pleasure. And is there any space in between? Yes. I will tell you about it. So here is Hope of Mighty Righty and her story.
June. June bug. What's a five-letter word that means elegance or beauty? Crossword puzzles. P-F-F-F-F-T. June poked a fork under her sponge curlers and scratched her head. What's a six-letter word for last nerve? Who dumpster dives for food and comes back with a puzzle book? Junie. Class. June yells from the kitchen. Not that there's any class around here. C-L-A-S won't work. Won't work? Just like Ed. Style. S-T-Y, June. Are ya even trying? Am I even trying? Dear God, give me grace to not kill this man.
Thank you, Hope of Mighty Righty. I put all the links to people's sites up there on the top of the page. That way, at the last minute, you can just, I can get out of here. I can see some real writing sites where all the good stuff is. So, close that tab. Close that tab, open that tab, and oh my lord, it's Steven the Nuclear Man. He's here. Yes. Which Comic Con or Writing Con were you last at? I don't know. I still need to go to one. I think I'm going to go to that Balticon or whatever next year, if all works out. And I never go anywhere. Although I did do ApacheCon, and I did the writing thing for technical writers in Atlanta, I'm not going to do the company conference in New Orleans, because they're like, well, you know, we're going to run out of people, and people have to work, and it's like, okay, whatever. It's not like we were working when we were in Houston. But, I don't know. I got some points left on the Southwest thing. I still haven't gotten my Silver Pass. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. George Springer is going to be down in Houston at some point anyway to play. And I don't have time to turn around and blah. And, oh, I'm going to go to the Aggie game, the watch Johnny Football sign autographs for money at the Rice game. So I'm going to go to that. It's up in College Station. I'm going to be sitting with Aggies. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. All right. It'll be like being a Jew at Nuremberg. Oh, man. That's going to get letters. I should just play Steven's story.
This is actually part of something larger. It's not quite self-contained, and for that I apologize. With multiple sounds in the background that are all telling me I'm late, so this is what you get, but consider it a teaser that there's something more out there. She slips between the two ships, suit nearly touching the metal walls of her shuttle or the rock hull of Delatus. She glances back at the cut, flexible docking tube, hemorrhaging air and the bodies of infected into space. Her knife slips back into its sheath, and she focuses on holding the air bottle with both hands. Icarus, home, is far away. Her suit's HUD informs her that Delatus is headed for Icarus. Delatus, second asteroid ship, full of infected. She triggers the air bottle, tracing a graceful arc back to the shuttle. Her work isn't done.
I, for one, like to be teased, and I enjoy it. Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man, who likes to tease. We call him the Teaser. Maybe Muncie will use that next week. Or month, or... Ah! I should just read the next story, dammit. Let's see what project they've got coming up. Oh, it's Serendipity. All right. And, oh, this topic. Oh, yeah. This one's getting added to the stack. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Let's just put a little note in it. I'm going to do a Twitter call for topics because I've been bad about, yeah. So, right. Here's, I ask you every time, give me a topic for the next one. There have been some really strange ones. You people are... You sure you're getting all your medicine? Just checking. Serendipity is medicine, though. Let's take a teaspoon.
Pastor Joe insists that we say grace before every meal. He says it's a means of asserting our humanity. I disagree. It isn't that I'm not religious, or I have any particularly strong feelings about saying grace. But given our circumstances, I really don't think that it's terribly appropriate. So I just mumble and pretend to participate before we get stuck in. I look around at my companions and the wreckage of the plane behind them. Then I look at the meat in my hands. Can saying grace really assert our humanity? If we are eating the ones who didn't survive.
Of course it does. Why do you question the clergy? That's a bad thing, isn't it? No, the clergy is always right, because they can always say, well, if you disagree with me, you're going to hell. Man, where do I get that job? What didn't anyone say in school? Oh, well, let's see, you could be a fireman, you can be a policeman, you could be a doctor, but if you're a clergy, whenever you're wrong, you can just tell people you're wrong, and if you disagree, you're going to hell. Man, forget all the scandals and other stuff. That sounds like the job for me. Because everyone's like, hey, go to hell. This dude, or dudette. Yeah, well, I guess they lost control of that. But still, now more people can say, oh, you think I'm wrong. Well, I'm right, and you're going to hell. Man, that's an awesome, awesome job benefit. I wish more jobs had that. like, engineer. What? You think it's negative 0.27? No, it's negative 0.3. Prove it with my calculations. No, and if you doubt me, you're going to hell. Actually, what if they were engineering a gate to hell? If you doubt that this will work, you're going to hell. And if it doesn't work, they don't go to hell. That's kind of strange. Let's leave it to the clergy. Only they're responsible enough. Book full of contradictions and begats. And thus begat Caledonia these stories. Yeah, Caledonia's back. She's busy with Bart on the beach, setting things up, but look, she's got time for stories. Why don't you? You should be more like her.
100-word story weekly challenge, Grace. Two submissions by Judith Cullen, also known as Caledonia Sky Tower. First, the power of grace. She pats her pocket, totally aware of its contents. He sidles up to her with that unique sideways lope of his. His smile is ingratiatingly confident. She smiles back, her thoughts completely different from what he believes they are. She wonders why she didn't see through that smile before. How had she found it charming? He is thinking that all is well when she quietly says, "It is over. Goodbye." She turns and walks away from his incredulous, drop-jawed face. She pats her pocket, totally aware of its contents. She grins, knowing now that grace is more powerful than revenge. And my second offering, Grace Beside Itself. It's your turn, dear. Don't mumble. Our Father in heaven, our thanks now we bring, for food and for clothing and for every good thing. Grandma smiles proudly. Oh, give of thy blessings to those who have meat. Meat? No, dear, I think it's need, not meat. Don't they need meat, too? Well, perhaps they do, but... And teach us to love thee in word and in deed. Amen. The smiling young face looks up triumphantly, eyes large and expectant. A thoughtful pause. Thank you. That was lovely, dear. Please pass your sister the potatoes. There's a good girl.
Okay, and just she left off the jdcstoryteller.blogspot.com, jdcdesigns.blogspot.com, artist, storyteller, author! See, it escalates. Although, are we all artists? Aren't we, in some way or another? Passing the potatoes artists? Thoughtful pausing artists? Meat artists? I think so. We all are. Now pass the potatoes! Sorry. I haven't passed the potatoes in a long time. I need to do that. Who wants me over for Thanksgiving? All I will do is pass the potatoes. Don't go to Thanksgiving dinner with Tony Romo. The potatoes will get intercepted. That's why Dallas plays on Thanksgiving. yeah. I just play Tora's story and laugh quietly to myself.
I actually wrote this at a flash fiction session in Second Life in 20 minutes, and then spent an hour cutting it down from 300 words to 100. Grace. There were always doves in the temple, a symbol of God's grace. Gaia was 12 when she was first presented. The priests liked Gaia very much. Gaia did not like them, or their rituals, but her mother would not listen. One night, she crept into the temple dovecot, with a stolen lantern and rags soaked in oil. When the fire took, she made her way home, climbing in her bedroom window. Later, the commotion woke her mother, From a window they watched the spreading flames. "The doves!" Gaia cried. They wheeled above the burning temple and fled into the night.
What does the 300-word version look like? If you could send that, I'll put that in the notes just to let people know how things pared down. Or if you put it on your blog, I've already linked to it. So, yeah. Let's find out. God, I haven't done one of those dashes in forever. I get so blocked up at them. And then, at the last minute, boom. But the topics have been just so strange, they've run out of normal words. I don't know. I have. 300 and... How many of these have we done? 381? Have we done the same word twice yet? Probably. I'm pretty bad about checking. Although I do search now and then. But, we're going to add underwear. Definitely adding underwear. Definitely. I did not buy new underwear, though, this time around. Texas sales tax holiday. I bought some fat shorts, so I can, now that I've sweated up my jeans for 2 or 3 months, walking to the bus stop and then walking from the other bus stop to work and all that, I bought some short pants and some new t-shirts, all black, of course, because I bought all gray, and it's this looks awful when I wear them, when I don't bother putting the work shirt on over it. But, in my defense. So, how about I just play the next story? Norval Joe, he got in here. So, here he is, and I wonder, Durgle, just that word. I knew Garg is going to put that in Word of the Day, isn't he?
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 381 with a prompt of grace. A young woman approached the low dais. Her gown was clean and presentable, but nowhere near as expensive as she once wore. Her chin held high and her back straight, she glided toward the Duke. Only when she reached his knee did she bow her head and dip into a low curtsy. "Your Grace, I come begging my brother's release from prison." "Do you bring a ransom, or someone, in exchange?" Her hand went to her throat. "No, Your Grace, I only beg your indulgence and mercy." The Duke laughed. "Unfortunately for your brother, my grace will not be his." Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, harmonica, how I've missed you. Don't ever... Norval Joe, okay. Thank you for the story. And put that harmonica in your pocket and take it with you when you travel. So, it's like, I don't know, I'm just so lost. And make that your ringtone. In fact, we should put that up there to make it a ringtone. It could be the official ringtone. You want it to be? No? Okay, never mind. Forget it. It was a dumb idea. Come up with dumb ideas all the time. I'm sorry. As a token of my apology, how about a story from Ishtar, who has come back and as a story, and you should listen, because I gotta go with the robot again. I'm never gonna use, okay, these people have all a long list of, these are the conditions. Well, I'm not gonna use this site again when I have my phone back. It's probably a free app I could have used. Oh, you could use this. Well, I tried. Natural Reader did not work because it did not download. I need an MP3 or a WAV or an AUG or an UGG or an EEP or whatever. Here's Ishtar.
The guitar plays a soulful lullaby in the background. The smell of cigarettes fills the room. A lullaby of loss can be heard as a harmonica wails. Grace, can you hear me? Don't gun me down, Grace, can you see me? Don't gun me down, she steps into the saloon, spurs spinning as she searches the audience. He's there in the spotlight. Stepping closer, she hears him again. Grace, don't let the light fall from your eyes. Forgiveness is calling. She storms forward, pulling her gun ready to fire. Click. Misfire. Click. Misfire. Will you forgive me? He asks. Bang.
Ouch. That's gotta hurt. Thank you, Ishtar. Be careful what you play. You may get shot. Someone who does deserve to get shot, though, is, of course, Planet Z. For all the years of torment and torture that horrible, awful bard from far, far, far away has put everyone through. Although, that's okay, I'm going to read the story anyway. No, I'm not. You'll let someone else do it. Not that stupid robot. AT&T, you suck. Of course, if I hadn't lost my phone, I'm not going to read those myself. What do you think I am, some sort of reader? No, that's what robots are for. Ask the Japanese, they know.
Princess Margaret gave her older sister a box full of condoms for her baby shower. I guess you ran out of the ones I gave you as a wedding gift, she said. Or did you lose the box? You should have told me. I'd have given you some more. Everybody else gave presents more appropriate for the child that would be the next in line to the throne. Margaret often put on her mother's crown and dreamt she was an only child. 2 weeks later, her sister died in childbirth. The baby was stillborn. Margaret cried at the funeral. Briefly.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of grace. All, I think, 100 words long. I don't count. I leave it up to you, the writers, the recorders, the bards, the tail spinners, the shopes, to do the counting for you. Wordcounter.net will do it great. And give them a tip. Give everybody a tip. Everyone, give the next person in the list a tip, and then the person who's first in the list, I'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot, because I'm lazy. But not lazy enough to tell you to go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, where the next topic of... What is the next topic? Billions? What kind of topic is that? I don't know. We'll find out. So next week, come on by, record your story, write it, send it in, put it together, profit. Actually, I don't make any money off this. I don't want to. I'm enjoying it. Can't you do stuff for just the enjoyment of it? Well, I know what you're going to enjoy hearing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. And as always, keep it brief.